From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, how secret is the secret ballot in Texas? A voter fraud conspiracy advocate says she has cracked the code of the Texas secret ballot. And as the school year starts, will an uncertified teacher be assigned to your child's classroom? A new study shows it could mean a four-month loss of academic progress.
We have this national teacher shortage, and there's a huge teacher shortage in the state of Texas. And so, unfortunately, we are now seeing more uncertified teachers come into the classroom to fill those vacancies.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. How secret is your ballot in Texas? The secret ballot is important in elections because it protects voter privacy and helps ensure the integrity of the voting process. By keeping individual votes confidential, it reduces the risk of voter intimidation and coercion. This allows people to vote according to their true preferences, without fear of repercussions from employers, political groups, or others. The secret ballot is a fundamental aspect of democratic elections, helping to ensure that the elections are free, fair, and reflective of the genuine will of the people. And one Texas anti-voter fraud activist says she has cracked the code of the Texas secret ballot. Laura Presley is a former Austin City Council candidate known for her extreme advocacy on election integrity. She gained attention after contesting her 2014 City Council election loss, alleging that there were irregularities in the electronic voting process. Presley has been vocal about concerns regarding electronic voting systems, particularly for the so-called potential for errors and the lack of a verifiable paper trail. Her activism has sparked debates about the security and transparency of electronic voting in Texas. Although her legal challenges were ultimately unsuccessful, she continues to be a prominent figure in the election integrity circles, promoting the use of paper ballots and other measures which she claims will safeguard the voting process. And now, she says, God has revealed to her the flaw in the Texas secret ballot system. To tell us more, we're joined by Natalia Contreras. She covers election administration and voting access for VoteBeat in partnership with the Texas Tribune.
What does Laura Presley claim that she has uncovered?
This latest lawsuit that she filed it in March, she claims to have found an algorithm that she is using to see the ballot choices of thousands of people, specifically 60,000 people, she says, in Williamson County, including the county judge and other elected officials. And she says that she's found this using publicly available records and records that she's become familiar with, you know, throughout her activism in elections over the years.
When she says, so this is Williamson County, but I imagine she thinks this could be done on a larger scale to every county in Texas.
She believes so, right. That's what she's claiming in the lawsuit.
And she also said that she was inspired by God to crack the code. Can you explain that?
Yeah. I listened to Spaces social media event that she did. I believe it was in April. And she talked about how she came to find this information, right? She had, of course, like filed a bunch of records requests with a county, and she recalled, you know, getting that information back. And if you filed records requests before, that takes some time, right? And so she filed a ton of records requests, and she finally got them back, and she recalls getting down on her knees and praying to God to show her a pattern, because she believed that that it was there. She for years believed that there was something there. And she said in that call that she did that within 20 minutes, God had shown her and she could see it. And that's how she found this.
What do election officials say about Presley's claim that she's able to crack the secret ballot code in Texas?
So what's interesting about this is that she is not willing to show what she's found. If you look at the lawsuit, her evidence is all redacted. So election officials and state officials, the folks who, if there was something here to fix, could fix it, are not able to see if she's in fact uncovered anything, right? So I think that's something that's interesting, is that she's not willing to share this with the people at the state level that would be put in the best position to resolve a problem if there was in fact a problem. And so that's one of those things. And in her lawsuit, she says that she is willing to show the judge and one attorney from the attorney general's office what she's found, but no one else. And she's saying that it's because she's worried that this will get out and that this will get used for voter intimidation, which is right. But I think that we also got to be clear that she has seen this, her attorneys have seen this, and at least two other plaintiffs in this lawsuit have seen this. And so it's not like she is the only one that has it, right? Other people have seen it, but she's definitely not willing to share it with, like I said, the folks that could do something to resolve this. So election officials and experts that I talked to throughout the reporting, because of this, say that it's very, very, very unlikely that she may have found something other than what folks already know, that there is election data that's publicly available in our state. Our state has made it really easy for the public to obtain election records. And election officials and experts just think that she may have just put two and two together or connected the dots, but it's unlikely that there's anything other than that there's like reverse engineering or anything like that. It's very unlikely. It's probably what experts say, that is that it's probably just process of elimination, public records that she likely just went through and connected. But like I said, we're not going to be able to know that unless she's either willing to show it or a judge orders her to do so.
So she has filed that lawsuit claiming that there is no secret ballot in Texas because she's able to crack this code. So what remedy is she seeking for this alleged problem?
So one thing that she emphasizes in her lawsuit is that this is something that the state election officials, specifically the Secretary of State's office, has enabled in the way that they have allowed counties to number their ballots. And so she has for years been an advocate for going back to this very strict interpretation of the Texas Constitution that says that our ballots, or your paper ballots, should be numbered sequentially starting with one. And so this lawsuit is another one of those claims that she's making, right? That this is enabled because the state isn't following that rule to the T, and isn't following that rule very strictly the way that it's written. Currently, the way that the law is written, it does say that ballots should be numbered sequentially starting with one, but that at the polling location, they should be shuffled, right, to protect secrecy once they're handed over to the voter. And so right now, with technology and with the equipment that we have, that is already done. The equipment already does that automatically. Technology has advanced and it's there. So state officials and even the Texas Attorney General has said that, in fact, the state is following, it's following the law the way it should be, that election officials across the state are following the law the way this should be. But here again, with this lawsuit, she is claiming that they aren't, and that this is now enabling, a breach of ballot secrecy.
when I go vote, you know, I have the little touch screen in front of me and I push all the buttons and it spits out the paper and I do see that there is a number there. And so that number is part of the numbering of ballots, but it's not sequential. It's being generated across the state of Texas simultaneously, not random, but it is keeping track of things. And it's impossible for them to trace that back to me, or at least that's what the Secretary of State says. But Laura Presley says, no, I can do that. I can trace that back to you.
Yeah, I've talked to, you know, the voting equipment vendors. I've talked to, you know, election officials. And that number, it's used to prevent double voting. And it's also used for auditing purposes, right, to make sure that at the end of the day, when everything is got to be counted and all the ballots and the paper has to be accounted for, that everything matches, right? But specifically to prevent fraud and to prevent double voting. Other states have gone away from this method of using those numbers just because they're just not necessary. But this is something that is part of the law here in Texas, and it's a requirement. Yeah, and everybody has told me, and we can be confident that our ballots are safe and that the process is secure. And this has this type of claim that it isn't, or that the law isn't being followed, has already Presley has already tried to file this in the past, and the Texas Supreme Court and other courts haven't even heard the merits that she's bringing forward. I mean, those cases have never even gotten a hearing in the past, and so it's not clear what a judge is going to do here in this case, right? But right now, I think that it's important that voters understand that there have been for years processes and procedures in place that are put in there to protect our votes. And right now, after all of these stories have come out, and including our reporting about, you know, how in some particular very few instances there are ways that through public data you could see someone's choices, I think people need to feel confident that election officials right now are doing everything that they can to protect the secrecy of our ballots.
So, I mean, should I be confident that the ballot, my ballot, is going to be secret for this election and also for past elections?
Yeah, and I think that you can, because even though there haven't, the legislature is going to have to act next year, right, to put to resolve this issue of ballot secrecy. But right now, election officials are going the extra mile to redact any type of information that could become public, that could risk this, that could risk the secrecy of our ballots. And I have seen it. I mean, throughout the reporting of this story, I filed a records request, and it not only are they taking a little longer to get back to me, but they're, you know, redacted even further. And so I think that we really have to take a look at, you know, what has been asked of election officials in this process as well, but also really take a look at the information that we are making available. And some, you know, some experts in election administration have also told me that this is a moment right now where the state is going to have to figure out that balance. You know, do we want transparency, and do we want security, and how do we find that balance? And I think this is the moment that Texas is in right now where we don't know that answer, and I don't know that we're going to get that right away or ahead of November, but I do feel confident that election officials are doing everything that they can to protect our ballots and our ballot choices.
We do know that there are bad actors in the country right now who are trying to disrupt our elections, trying to throw chaos into how elections are going to be carried out and how votes are tallied and how they're certified. Do we know what Presley's intentions are?
You know, she, Laura Presley has been doing this for so long. you know, I've talked to her in the past too. And, you know, I try to talk to her and try to get her to tell me specifically this on the record. And you know, she wouldn't go on the record. And I don't think that it's clear what her intentions are. And I've talked to election officials about this too, right? And they're also wondering, you know, does she want to work to improve the system, or does she want, or, you know, I think that's a question that's still out there, or, you know, or do, what exactly are her intentions? I think it's still the question, but I think election officials have been very clear with me that if she wants to help improve the process, the way to do it is not through a lawsuit or through, you know, any of the other actions that she's done, or, you know, poll watching training, and, you know, how she's training the watchers and what she's training them to do, but work side to side with election officials instead of against them. It's what I'm hearing from election officials across the state who have had dealt with her, and that's many of them. But yeah, I think that question is still out there. I don't know that I can answer that, because, you know, I tried to get her to talk to me, but she just wouldn't. So
sure, but based upon
still to be seen.
Based upon, I've seen her testify in hearings in the state capitol about election security, mm-hmm. and she is a person who believes that the elections are being stolen. She has wild conspiracy ideas about the elections not being secure. She says that her election when she ran for city council in Austin was stolen. I don't know what that means in relation to this conversation about the, you know, secret ballot in Texas, but her track record is one of person who has been, she's trafficked in these extreme conspiracy theories about stolen elections.
Yeah, and I think she has been, like you said, public about those things. I have also tried to ask her if she trusts, right, our state election officials and our local election officials. And like I said, she wouldn't answer that for me on the record. But her lawsuits and her actions, I think, show that she may not trust the folks that are running elections. And so I just think that with this lawsuit, it's just another way that Laura Presley is trying to bring to the forefront this issue that she's been fighting for so long, this ballot numbering issue.
Natalia Contreras is a reporter with VoteBeat in partnership with the Texas Tribune. It's getting harder to find qualified teachers to work in Texas classrooms. According to a recent Texas State Teachers Association study, 65% of Texas teachers are seriously considering leaving the profession. The survey determined that Texas teachers were primarily unhappy with a lack of support for public schools from the state government, teacher pay, and Texas leaders' push for school vouchers. Many Texas school districts are in financial hardship now because Governor Greg Abbott is underfunding public education over his insistence of the school voucher scheme. Numerous school districts report significant budget shortfalls and face mass layoffs. In the survey, 33% of the teachers said they work extra jobs to meet their families' financial needs. 74% of the teachers surveyed also said the extra job most likely hurts the quality of their teaching, but the additional income was necessary. This growing shortage of trained and qualified teachers has led Texas to allow unqualified people to teach children. Texas has adopted a state law which allows almost any school to hire unlicensed teachers. As a result, Texas schools now hire more unlicensed new teachers than licensed ones. Research shows, however, that these unregulated hiring practices can have a negative impact on students' academic achievement. It disproportionately affects Black students, English learners, and rural students. In the previous school year, the Texas Education Agency reported 34% of new teachers hired were uncertified, meaning they lack the essential training and formal education that builds higher quality teachers. A recent study from Texas Tech shows students can lose up to 4 months of learning with new uncertified teachers. Heath Morrison is the former superintendent for Montgomery ISD. He is the CEO of Teachers of Tomorrow, the nation's largest alternative certification program for teachers.
I start off with the fact that we have to acknowledge we're in the midst of a national teacher shortage. It was predicted that we were going to have around 300,000 vacancies in the year 2035, and we are now at 350,000 teacher vacancies across the country in the year 2024. I was just in Nevada talking to Clark County School District, the largest school district in that state, one of the largest in the country, and they have 1,200 teacher vacancies this close to the start of school. So we have this national teacher shortage, and there's a huge teacher shortage in the state of Texas. And so, unfortunately, we are now seeing more uncertified teachers come into the classroom to fill those vacancies. And I say unfortunate because, you know, we certainly value anybody who has the desire to teach, anybody who says, hey, I might have value to come into the classroom. But we wouldn't want people just coming off of the street with no credentials, no training, no support to administer medical support and be a doctor. We wouldn't want anybody coming in to a courtroom to represent your loved ones if they were facing serious legal challenges as a lawyer. And we certainly don't want people who are just coming in sometimes literally days before the start of school with no training, no support, and no experience to be teachers. And the data shows the challenge with uncertified teachers. Number one, the Texas A&M just did a study that shows that uncertified teachers have at least a four-month learning loss with students that they are educating. And that those data are unfolding as we speak. And then we have the Ready Center here in Texas that has shown that uncertified teachers leave the classroom about 67% within the first 3 years. And so 7 out of every 10 of uncertified teachers coming to the state of Texas are going to leave within 3 years. So there's all sorts of huge challenges, sunk costs in terms of utilizing uncertified teachers as a way to deal with this teacher shortage. And so for me, as a former superintendent, and now a person who is working very hard to try to get as many certified teachers into the classroom in Texas and across the country, is that it's the growing number of uncertified teachers in the state of Texas, and it is quite unlike any other state. Not that other states don't have uncertified teachers, but the growth here in Texas is really astounding. Before 2018, there was literally less than 10% of teachers that were uncertified, and really just several thousand. Last year, with 55,000 new teachers hired in the state of Texas, we now have 17,500. And so when you think about that, there were 55,000 new teachers hired in the state of Texas, 17,500 of them were hired as uncertified. That's 33%, 1 out of every 3. Just to put that in context, university preparation, which has been traditionally the biggest supplier of certified teachers, was only 11% in the state of Texas last year. So it's a huge challenge. It's going to need a lot of different stakeholders to come together to solve it.
Help me understand what you mean by a four-month loss of learning in the classroom where the teacher is uncertified.
Yeah, so, you know, it's challenging right now because this phenomenon has happened so fast. There is very little data in terms of the magnitude of the issue. But Texas A&M did a study, and just from the initial test results that they were looking at and other data that was available, when you compare a certified teacher versus an uncertified teacher, students learned less and really had about a four-month loss of learning, which, if you think about it, intuitively makes sense. You have an individual coming in, and it's one thing if someone says, well, you know, if they're an accountant, you know, they're probably good at numbers and math. True. But they may not be employed as a math teacher. Unfortunately, when uncertified teachers are coming into the classroom, they're often put into positions that are not where their background is. They are simply filling vacancies. And so they're coming in with no support, no training. It's one thing to know your subject material, but it's another thing. It's a gift. And that's what a great teacher does. They're able to impart the knowledge that they have to their students. And so intuitively, if someone's just coming in hired late, oftentimes put in the most challenging teaching circumstances that we have, and then they're trying to educate their students, when they don't know how to design a lesson plan, they don't know how to do a classroom management plan, they don't even know what STAR testing is, and all they know is they're hearing it's important, there's going to be a loss of learning. And I think, you know, the Texas A&M study was the first of many that are going to show that uncertified teachers, students perform vastly different and unfortunately less than a certified teacher.
Well, help me break this down a little bit more clearly. If you have two classrooms and one student has a certified teacher, veteran teacher, and someone who's gone through the process of learning how to teach, and you have another student in another classroom and they get an off-the-shelf uncertified teacher, you're telling me that the student with the certified teacher is going to have about 4 months more of instruction and they're going to have better outcomes.
That's what the Texas A&M study is showing. There's some other research that is emerging that confirms that. And you know, just again, intuitively, certified teachers, whether they're through a university program or an alternative certification program like Teachers of Tomorrow, are staying in the classroom a lot longer. So if you have a certified teacher, not only is it somebody who has gone through, taken coursework, had field-based experiences, been able to pass a test that shows that they have content mastery knowledge. So all those things in and of themselves would lead you to believe that they will generate higher outcomes. They're more likely to not also be an experienced teacher. They will more likely be someone who's had a couple of years of teaching because they're staying in the classroom longer. With uncertified teachers, you know, potentially by the time they've actually started to figure out some of the aspects of being a teacher just through very challenging on-the-job training, research shows that 7 out of 10 of them are going to leave in 3 years. So more likely than not, the uncertified teacher that you have is probably a newer, more an experienced teacher, which just compounds the learning challenges.
So in Texas, I imagine we're not seeing an even distribution of uncertified teachers in classrooms across the state. So where are uncertified teachers most likely to find work?
Yeah, it's a great question again. And so what the research is showing is that most are ending up in rural schools. About 72% of new hires in rural schools are completely uncertified teachers. And certainly with all of the challenges that our rural schools are facing, that's not what we would think would be best. And then oftentimes these individuals in the Equity Center is starting to look at this, are finding their way into our most impacted poverty schools. And again, this is when you think about the needs of our students coming from economically disadvantaged circumstances, research shows that these are the students who need the most experienced teachers. They need people who completely understand the craft. They understand their knowledge. They've had training in terms of how to teach diverse groups of students, students with learning needs, special education, second language learning. But unfortunately, more uncertified teachers are finding their way into those classrooms than more affluent communities. And so, again, in a state like Texas that has done so much to try to give a level playing field to all students and the differentiation of funding for schools that serve poverty students, right now too many uncertified teachers are finding their way into Title I schools and poverty schools.
Heath Morrison is the former superintendent for Montgomery ISD. He is the CEO of Teachers of Tomorrow, the nation's largest alternative certification program for teachers. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can email us at texasmatters@tpr.org. There are past episodes of Texas Matters on our website at tpr.org. You can find us wherever you download cool podcasts and tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.